Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. In public policy debates, it's often assumed that women freeze their eggs in order to put off childbearing during the prime time of their careers. According to new research, however, more and more educated and successful women are choosing to freeze their eggs because they cannot find a man they want to marry. Many men are missing from higher education, work, and church, and are just not marriageable, says Carol Logan. As a single woman, I am interested in the causes of this missing men phenomenon. While I think the church and society should focus on forming men to be more marriageable, I'm also concerned for the Catholic women who are single and want to get married. What should Catholic women do in this situation? It's easy to become, let's just say, Christian. What should Christian women do in this situation? It's easy to become disheartened, even to despair, about the apparent lack of marriageable men in our culture. I've met many beautiful and intelligent single women who are worried they'll never get married or they'll get married too late to have children. They are willing to leave their careers behind in order to be a wife and mother, yet they simply cannot find the right man. This is something new to our generation. It never occurred to my mother and her friends that they would never find a spouse. Most of them were happily married by their mid-20s. I won't argue here about why egg freezing is immoral. I've pondered, however, what Christian single women should do in this culture of missing men. Here are some alternatives that I found to be helpful in my own singlehood. This is tragic here, folks. Where are the manly men? Asks Miss Rita in the chat room. You're right, Miss Rita. Where are they? Do we fail in raising them? Do we let our sons come home? Or go to leave the house dressed in metrosexual effeminate skinny jeans? You're not going out of the house looking like that, son. Well, everybody's wearing them. No, a lot of girls are wearing them. You're not going out of the house looking like that. Well, why? Well, I think if you have some masculinity going on in that house, some people think masculinity is, oh, what, you want men beating women? Oh, yeah, that's masculine. You're a real genius. You know what? You ought to have a job teaching somewhere. You're so smart. Masculinity means being, to me, responsible for everything. Even though he was a Masonic genocidal maniac, Truman did give us one thing good. The buck stops here. Truman's right. If you're a dad, if you're a father, your job, my job, get your children and your wife to heaven. That's your job. If all you did was concentrate on that, and the first way to concentrate on it is to lead by example. Lead by example. If you just did that, what a different country and culture we would live in. Starts there, guys. Some of you have been listening to this show long enough to know that I've been on this kick long before my reversion to the faith. that all of us were in a club and we all agreed years ago to read the Earl of Chesterfield's letters to his son. Remember he'd begin every letter with, "Dear boy." Well, the Earl of Chesterfield was trying to make up for the time that he had missed. He didn't know that he had fathered a bastard child, one of his concubines. Took it upon himself to try to make good and to try to teach the child, the boy, and try to make a better life for himself, teach him to be a gentleman. Many people regard those two volumes of the Earl of Chesterfield's letters to his son as the single best works ever written. And the Earl of Chesterfield, don't kid yourself, was no paragon of moral Christian virtue. Obviously, he had a bastard child. He couldn't have been. Although, there's always mercy, so don't get me wrong. But many people say it's the best guide to raising gentlemen, if you just read the letters, that you'll ever get. And I think that's partially true, because there are truths in it. There are virtues in it. However, that's not the best guide. The best guide to raising virtuous, manly young men is to get that little book, My Imitation of Christ. That's the best guide if you can imitate our Lord, and none of us can, but we can try. Mr. Church, please. He was a pacifist. He was that's not a manly man. Jesus wasn't a... Oh, yes, he was. How many men would go into a... Christopher might do this, but he'd be the only one. How many men would go into a place where a house of worship was going on and where heresy and usury and other sins were being committed, and go in and physically, verbally, and then physically confront and then remove the sin? That's a manly man that walked into that temple, turned those tables upside down. There were thousands of dollars on those, or silver on those tables. Those guys weren't trading wooden chips. That's a manly act. Not only was he defending his father and defending the faith, he was saving souls. He was telling them, you're wrong. And you may not listen to my preaching, but you will listen to this. How many men willingly, without objection, die for their friends? Friends that they wouldn't meet for another 2,000 years, me and you. He did that. How many men willingly allow themselves, and he's God, he couldn't have prevented it, to be chained to a concrete pillar and have his flesh ripped from his body by this thing called the scourge? He did that. How many manly men today are there out there? I'm trying to prove the point, and it's easy to do. That could meet the easiest mark in all of Galilee, who basically could have thrown herself at his feet and instead pardoned her sin and made her a saint. Speaking, of course, of Mary of Magdala. Did you ever see the movie Risen?
I never saw it.
You'll like it. Josephine's.
I know who it is. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a part in the movie where this guy is looking for Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Pilate is sending him out. You got to find this guy. This guy's causing all kind of havoc here. You got to find him, and you got to do away with him. They want to basically crucify him again. So he goes looking for him, and he goes into a beer hall where there are a bunch of Roman praetorians in there, celebrating and drinking. And he opens the door, and he's the commander. And he starts yelling at them to give him his attention. And he goes, I'm looking for Mary of Magdala. Who knows her? And they all kind of go like, slowly raise their hands. Because, you know, she was a harlot. So they all knew her. It's a funny scene, but just reinforces my point. Our Lord could have had his way with her. Instead, he was a manly man, a gentleman, and a Christian, obviously. And what did he do? You're not going to sin anymore. I'm going to forgive you. Now go forth and don't sin. Woman, turn her into a saint. I could go on and on and on about the things that he did that make him a manly, virtuous man. That's the best imitation, and that's the best guide. You know, and it's not, if you have a King James version of the Bible, a Bible, there you go. There's your owner's manual to raising a gentleman, a young gentleman.